All right, I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so we're going to look at something in Scripture here tonight that is meant to give us two things. That is purpose and purity. Purpose in our Christian life and purity in our life. This is a question that's been going round and round in my head and my heart a lot the last couple of weeks or so. As a result, this sermon is a result of kind of just reviewing this topic the last couple of weeks in my own life. But purpose. Do you have purpose in your life? Purpose. Do you have purpose in what you do? Is purpose something that you're looking for? You know, when you get up in the morning. When you get up in the morning and you're getting ready to go to work or start school or go to school or wrangle your kids or whatever it is your daily schedule looks like, what gets you up out of bed in the morning? What gets you up out of bed and what gives you purpose? Do you have something that gives you purpose, that gives you aim, that gives you drive, something that makes the hours of the day and the days of the week fly by, something that gives you even joy and enthusiasm in your daily life, in what you do? Do you have that? I mean, is that something that you are looking for? Is that something that you want, that you wish you had? Maybe you do have it. That is something that can be found in different things. For a lot of people, maybe it's they do something that they love, whether that be their career or just whatever consumes their time. It just happens to be something that they love. You know, maybe Brother Daniel just loves flying, and so now he flies, and that's what he loves, so that he just gets every morning, man, I'm so glad I get to fly, you know, and that's great if that's a good thing. But maybe do you have something that gives you purpose? Well, there is something very, very specific for the Christian that really will get, if you understand it and you're preparing for it and you understand what the Bible says about it, will give you a real purpose, and is what we're supposed to drive our purpose from in your life and everything that you do. Whether it doesn't matter what that thing is that you do, whatever your daily, weekly, routine schedule, there is something that God gives us that can give you that purpose, that aim, that drive, so that when you get up in the morning and it's something that will get you out of bed excited for the day. Something that you can do no matter what it is you're going to be doing. Something, a goal you can work towards. Something that what you do in your life can work towards. And also, not only will give you purpose, give you purity. Purity. Help you to purify your life. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. I'm just going to read verses 8 through 11. It says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." So we're going to look at here the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ for the Christian. This is something that can give you tremendous purpose and tremendous purity in your life and everything that you do, no matter what it is. Let's actually go ahead and pray before I forget and ask the Lord's blessing on this message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to look at your word now. Lord, we know that without your Holy Spirit, without you, this is in vain. Lord, we don't need to hear just from me, but we need to hear the truth of your word. So we pray that would come through very clearly this evening and that you would help me to present your word truthfully and effectively. Please speak to our hearts. Help us to apply this tonight. And we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So looking at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to look at some things about this. The passage we just read, verse 9, look at verse 9 there. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." This is a purpose of life. This is the true purpose of life that every Christian has. This is something that we have that can give you purpose in everything that you do, that to be accepted of Christ on Judgment Day, at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is a fact. This is something that's going to happen. We're actually going to, as we go through this, we're just going to look at some basic facts and details about this. But this is something that is all coming for every Christian. Now, the purpose of this judgment is not, this is not for salvation. The issue of this is whether or not a person is saved. That's a different judgment. This is dealing with someone who is saved, who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That issue was settled at Calvary. Christ was judged already for our sins. We have to receive that gift. This is for someone who has accepted that gift and they are a Christian. The issue with this, with the judgment seat of Christ, is what each believer is going to do with your life, with your gifts, with your opportunities that God has given you from the time of your salvation to the time of your death. During missions conference, Pastor preached from Matthew 25, I believe it was Matthew 25, on the parable of the talents. And it really brought this to mind for me as well. I started looking at this a little more. That parable, you know, could be, there's several parables that Christ gives us pictures of what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is a very serious affair. There's going to be rebukes and there's going to be rewards. The devil works very hard to keep us, at least me, I don't know about you, but to keep us distracted and our minds dull, not thinking about the judgment seat of Christ. But there's tremendous opportunity here. Like I said, there's two, the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to look at this, Bible makes it clear, we're going to give account for our lives. There's going to be rewards given, both for the good and the bad that we do. But what a tremendous opportunity we have as Christians. Every decision you make in your life as a Christian, every decision you make every day, in how you perform the opportunities, the duties that God has given you, whatever it is, with your family, with your job, with the opportunities to witness, whatever it is, you're going to be judged and potentially rewarded for how you do what God has given you, and if you do what God has given you to do. Do you see what kind of purpose this can give your life? How every decision you make every day is going to have an impact on your eternity. It doesn't matter if you're just going, if you're going to work and all you're going to do is, you know, for me, I do a lot of like bookkeeping, accounting work, numbers. And sometimes it gets easy to get a little down. You know, I'm not doing anything important. I'm just running financial reports. I'm just doing mundane, day-to-day tasks. Same thing, in and out, in and out. And it can get to me sometimes like, what am I doing? What is the purpose of this? What am I doing? But when I think about, if I do this in a way that glorifies God, and if I'm, and God's going to give me opportunities in that position to witness, and through how I do my job, and through the people around me, and there's going to be many, many ways that I'm going to be judged of that, and I could be rewarded for how I do it, for what I do. Or if I do it poorly, and it results in people, you know, even turning away from Christ because I've been a bad witness or a bad worker or what, then that's I'm going to be judged for that as well. I'm going to give account for everything I do. And like I said, this is something that God can give to every Christian. You know, you don't have to, if you're not running a huge corporation or some scientist making discoveries that are going to shape the future of humanity, or you don't have to be some political leader or high-ranking military official or some nationwide influencer. You could just, whatever it is that God has given you to do, you can have tremendous purpose and drive in that through knowing that we're going to be judged on whether or not we can be accepted of Christ. So wherefore we labor, verse 9, wherefore we labor. Why do you labor? Why do you work? That even though the terminology behind this, the word behind the word labor and all, this is talking about, it's not just talking about work, physical work. is talking about passion. It's talking about purpose. You know, he's saying, what is your passion? What is your purpose? Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We can be accepted. We will have this opportunity. This is a true purpose of life. Is this your purpose? This is something that you can take and grab a hold of each morning that will give you excitement and joy for that day. You can labor to be accepted of Christ. Now let's learn a little bit about the judgment seat of Christ, what the Bible has to say about it, some details on it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. There are several passages in Scripture and parables and whatnot that teach us about this. But regarding judgment, so a little bit of eschatology here, future events. How does this fall into future events? When does that happen? Well, we know the next event on God's timeline, okay, the next event on God's timeline is going to be the rapture. So we have the rapture, and that's imminent. That can happen at any time. Okay, so we know that's coming. The Bible teaches us, you look at 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation chapter 4, there's other passages in Scripture. The rapture is the next time event on God's timeline, and that's going to happen at any moment. We don't know when. After that, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation period. Daniel 9:27 specifies this. It's going to be 7 years. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, this time of God pouring out his wrath on earth. Revelation gives us tremendous detail of exactly what's going to happen during these 7 years. And then immediately after, at the end of the 7 years tribulation period, there's going to be the return of Christ to the earth. You can look at Revelation chapter 19, chapter 20, talk about this. Christ is going to return to the earth. He's going to end that time of tribulation. He's going to begin his millennial reign. After, you know, he's going to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. After that, he's going to create the new heaven and a new earth and go from there. So the judgment seat of Christ happens after the return of Christ and immediately before the millennial reign. Let's see here. Look at 1 Corinthians 4, 5. I think I already mentioned that verse here. It says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of heart. Then shall every man have his praise of God. So this is referring to is going to happen at the Lord's coming, after the Lord's coming. If you look at Matthew 16:27. I'll read a couple passages. I'm going to read Matthew 16:27 and Luke 14:14. So you have to turn there. I'm going to go to Matthew 16:27 first. The Bible talks about kind of the timing of this. Matthew 16:27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. And then similarly to this, Luke 14:14 also references this. It says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. It's kind of jumping into the middle of the context there at the end of a parable, but it's talking about the reward, God coming and judging and rewarding at the resurrection of the just, which is going to happen at the return of Christ with his glory, with his angels. So, when is this going to happen? This is going to happen sometime immediately following the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation period, and before the millennial reign, because part of the rewards will be positions in Christ's kingdom, starting with the millennial reign on the earth, and then continuing into the new heaven and new earth. So that's when it's going to happen, and it's going to happen here on earth. God's going to give that when he returns. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Gives us some more details about this. So God is going to judge us here. On this, this is going to be a judgment strictly for Christians. And Paul makes it clear that we're going to receive rewards for what we have done on this earth. Part of the rewards will be positions in God's kingdom. We don't know exactly what all the rewards are going to entail. That will be part of it. But this judgment is also going to reveal the quality of our work for Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 3, starting verse 12. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. All right, so God is going to, it gives the illustration here of fire, and God is going to reveal the quality of our work for Christ. Our motives, our methods, how we did what we did for the Lord are going to be judged. It's going to be placed in the fire, as it were. And if it is, if it's as a precious metal that can withstand the fire, it will come out. If it's not, as wood, hay, or stubble, it's going to be burned. We're going to be rewarded for that. And then he goes on to talk about, in verse 16 and 17, in the same context, is, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All right, so we mentioned the two things that this does for us. It gives us purpose and also purity. This is something that can help you tremendously in your Christian life. Is there something that you're struggling with in being pure in some way? Maybe in the things that you say, the things that you think, or some sort of sin or addiction or struggle that has you, that you are struggling to get away from, to overcome. As a Christian, you're struggling with the flesh. Thinking about the judgment seat of Christ, how God is going to reveal, he's going to make manifest, the scripture tells, he's going to make manifest your works. And you will have the opportunity to either be accepted of God and to hear that, well done, a good and faithful servant, or will your works, will what you've done, be burnt up and you'll suffer loss, the Bible says, without reward. Because this can drive us to purity. This is a tremendous motivating factor that can help you to overcome sin in your life and have that purpose. You know, as Christians, we should be the most purpose-filled people that we know. You know, we know what's coming in eternity. We need to live with that eternal perspective. We know the end story. We know what's going to happen after we die. We know that there's an imminent rapture that could happen any time. We know that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to return, set up his kingdom on this earth. And we are going to have a position in that. What kind of position you have in that is going to be determined by what you do, by the decisions you make right now. And God's going to judge us. He's going to judge our work for him, our ministry, our quality for him. It's not enough to just be, you know, be involved in a ministry or have a part of it. You know, is that going to withstand a 1 Corinthians chapter 3 test? Is your heart in it? Are you doing it because of the love that you have for Christ? The 2 Corinthians 5 comes out. How and why are you doing these things? Look at Romans chapter 14 mentions this in a slightly different way. Romans chapter 14 talks about how we're going to give account of our lives to God at this judgment. Romans 14, let me start reading in verse 10. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. All right, so looking at this passage here, we're going to give account of our own lives, and including of how we treated our brethren. But the point Paul is driving at here is, if you have the right perspective of, you know, one day I'm going to give account of my actions, of my life to God, that's going to cause a humility to where you are more concerned with your own actions. Man, am I living a life that's accepted to God? You're not going to have enough time to go around just criticizing how everyone else isn't going to be accepted of God. You're going to be more concerned with, man, is what I do, am I going to be accepted? And that's going to cause you to have the right attitude towards the brethren. And Paul here is warning against that, against criticizing others of how they're going to fare at the judgment seat of Christ. Think about you. How are you going to fare at the judgment seat of Christ? Let that affect you, how you treat the brethren. You're going to be judged of that. You're going to be judged of that. And so it talks about, you know, judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in your brother's way. Be very careful not to hinder another Christian in their growth. Be very careful. And that's something that we all need to be aware of as Christians, is how are you, if you are living as a hypocrite in any way, or think of parents to your children, or, you know, how are you affecting others' walk with Christ? Are you causing others to draw closer to Christ? Are you causing them to fall? You're going to be judged for that. You're going to be judged for that. We need to be careful. We need to be very careful of our influence on others and how we do that. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll look at this again. Going back to this, I'll read, start in verse 10 again. So, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I want to look at this, you know, so the Bible says we're going to give account of our responsibilities. If you think of the parable of the talents, we heard Pastor preaching that recently, and that's repeated through the Gospels many times, how the Lord, the master of the house, he gives responsibilities to his servants. He gives, you know, he gives 5 talents or 10 talents or 1 talent, or differs between the different parables. And they were judged based on what they did with that opportunity given them. And the same way, we are going to be judged based on our opportunities that God gives us, based on our responsibilities. And one of our responsibilities is the Great Commission. God has given us the Great Commission. We are responsible to take the gospel to the others. So now in verse 11, when Paul talks about here, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He's referring to the judgment seat of Christ. He's not referring to the judgment of the lost. And certainly that is a terrible thing, and that can be a motivating factor. We don't want our friends and neighbors to be judged and go to hell, so we want to witness to them. But he's talking about you and I are going to be judged at a terrible judgment by a terrible Lord, using that term in the factor of awe and terror, on whether or not we fulfilled our responsibility with the Great Commission. When I think about it, it's very convicting. And this is what Paul is driving. And think about the example of the Apostle Paul. This drove him. This drove him. And if you go even further down, we're not going to go all the way through the chapter, but and he talks about for the love of Christ constrained him. Of course, that's getting even deeper into it. And that was the true source of it, was because he understood the love of Christ for him, and that is what motivated him. But also here, what is motivating him is the judgment seat of Christ. Paul knew one day he was going to stand before God in judgment, and that day is going to be a terrible day. And that motivated him to persuade the lost, to persuade that he wanted to fulfill his responsibility to the lost. Does this motivate us? Does this motivate us? This is a question that I've been asking myself a lot lately. But am I fulfilling my responsibility to the lost? Because there will come a terrible day standing before God, giving account of my life. My life will be made manifest, as God says. This can give us tremendous purpose, tremendous purity in our life, to be careful in our life and to accomplish our responsibilities. This day is coming. I'm going to read from Colossians 3, 26-25. Also references this. I'm going to look at this just real briefly. Colossians 3, 23-25 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." What a tremendous promises are in this verse. You know, we're going to receive. We serve the Lord Christ. We serve the Creator God Almighty, who is King of Kings, and He's going to reign over the whole earth forever. That's who we're serving. That's who's going to reward us. But not only will we be rewarded for our good, but also for our wrong. You shall receive for the wrong which you have done. This is something we need to have in mind. It's not the most pleasant thing to think on and dwell, but you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not aware of this, if you're not thinking about this every day. What the wrong that you do, you will receive for that the good that you do, you will be rewarded. Again, this is completely different from the judgment of salvation. I know that's all clear here, but this is talking about, it's completely different from salvation. This is those who are saved. God has judged our sin on the cross on Calvary, and that can only be received through faith in Christ. No amount of good works can save you from hell. That is only through what Christ has done. Okay, so God's going to give rewards. Our quality of work, our motives, our methods are going to be judged. This is something that we need to be aware of. But this is something that will cause us to be pure. This is something that will give us purpose in life. This is something that we need to be thinking about every day. One day, we will be exposed to the searching light of the Lord's eye. His all-seeing eye. God is omniscient. He is omnipotent. One day, our true character will be revealed. It'll be too late to go back. And think about the parables that God has, the parable of the talents. Christ emphasized this over and over. And it says there's no respecter of men. It doesn't matter who you are, as important or unimportant on this earth, God's going to judge you based on the responsibilities that He's given you. So this is something that can give you true purpose. I mean, think about that. And every day you can have joy and purpose in your life. Because, man, am I going to be accepted of Christ? And this is where this helps me, is thinking about that. You know, I have the opportunity with everything I do. Whether it's in my job or working on a project, whatever it is, I like to be rewarded for effort, for extra effort. I've had different types of jobs in the past where I was paid differently. You know, maybe a sales position based on commission, or different things where pay was based upon effort. And I always seem to do a lot better in those positions rather than more of just like a salary. Because, you know, if I put extra, if I do a little bit more, I'm going to get paid more, I'm going to get rewarded for this. You do more. Well, this is like that, except on an exponential way for the Christian. God wants to reward you for everything that you do. And that gives us purpose in our life and everything that we do. So, do you have purpose? Do you have purity in your Christian life? Thinking about, you know, that we can labor to be accepted of Christ in everything that you do. One day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have a chance to receive those rewards that can give you that purpose and that purity in life. All right, with every head bowed, every eye closed, we're going to close it.